You have your Bibles, turn, of course, to the 8th chapter of Romans. I'd like to read five verses. Verse 6 and then verses 10 through 13. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I'm going to stop there, although in my Bible there's a comma. Talk about sonship next week. Breathe upon us, breath of God. Anoint us, we pray, to speak and to listen. May we not just hear with our minds, but with our whole beings. Amen. Perhaps this is the most elementary truth of all that we're talking about. We said last Sunday, we almost take it for granted that we know so much about what we are speaking about in this 8th chapter. And of course we know what it means to be alive and what it means to be dead, or don't we? This is something that we must look at. Because if you are alive spiritually, you're a Christian. And if you're not alive spiritually, then all you know or all you do in the final analysis can't make up for the fact that you are dead and you're not a Christian. I'd like for us briefly to look at the fact of life. I believe in the bulletin it gives a different verse, but I'm talking about verse 6. The fact of death. The mind of sinful man is death. The fact of spiritual death apart from union with Jesus Christ. The question usually is asked, isn't everyone alive spiritually? And frankly, the answer to that question is no. According to the Word of God, apart from a dynamic union with Jesus Christ, there is the quality that we call spiritual death. Now, spiritual death is not non-existence. It doesn't mean that if you're dead spiritually, that you are not a personality, that you do not exist and function. I remember as a small child listening to many sermons and hearing the story over and again of Adam and Eve, and I remember also my father would read in family devotions, God said to Adam and Eve, "Now in the day that you partake of this fruit, you will surely die." And in my mind's eye, I saw Eve take the fruit and give it to Adam, and they partook of the fruit, and I just waited for them to get zapped right there and fall over. But they ate the fruit, and apparently nothing took place. And I said, oh, they didn't die. They were going to die somewhere farther on down the line. And we say, well, they did later on experience physical death. That was it. But in the time that they rebelled against God, in that moment that they said, I will go my own way and let God's will be what it may, we will do what we want to do, Adam and Eve did not cease to exist, but they died spiritually. Something of the image of God was marred in them. The fellowship that they knew with God was broken. And so spiritual death is like that, like Adam and Eve. Perhaps it's not that easy to see and easy to diagnose. You say, well, I'm sure I can tell who's alive spiritually and who's dead. Well, we evangelicals kind of feel like we know who's alive and who's dead, don't we? We can tell. But it's not all that easy to diagnose. And there is life that masquerades like death, and there is death that masquerades like life in a way. Even physically speaking, there are borderline cases where it's very difficult. You've all heard of people who've been pronounced dead, and maybe before the days of embalming at their funeral, they sat up and said, "What's going on here?" And I think the word is thanatomimosis. There's a life that looks almost like it was dead. I'd rather be sure and be alive and be vigorous. But it's not our job to go around saying, "Now this one's alive and this one's dead." That's not the purpose of my message this morning, but rather for me to look within my own heart and say, am I truly alive unto God? Does Christ live in me? Am I alive, or am I just going through the motions? Am I saying Nazarene words or Christian words? Am I giving lip service to truth? For death is not non-existence, but it is a lack of response to surrounding reality. Spiritual death is a total lack of spiritual appetite. The things of God do not appeal. The joy of fellowship with God and with the people of God doesn't appeal at all, because there is a deadness to spiritual truth. The Bible teaches us that apart from Jesus Christ, the person who is out of fellowship with Christ is not going to be dead sometime. Like Adam and Eve, we're going to die sometime. But the Bible teaches us that a person who does not have fellowship, a living, dynamic relationship with Christ, is already dead. And spiritual death ultimately means a total ruin of the personality. This that was made for fellowship with God throughout all eternity, this personality which is so hard to define, this life which is such a mystery, we said last week, Christ in us, was meant to develop throughout all eternity into Christ-likeness and into God-likeness. Spiritual death ultimately means a total ruin of that personality. And so spiritual life comes by union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Spirit of life. Verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, your spirit is alive. We need to see that true spiritual life comes from God and does not exist independently from God. That is, God does not give us some kind of a charge and then send us off to go in our independent way. Jesus said, I am the life. We have two figures here this morning which really are one: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then a favorite figure of the Apostle Paul when he says, we are in Christ. Christ in us. We've accepted his atonement. We've accepted his lordship. Christ lives in me. Christ brings life to me. And then we are in him. Christ is the large one. Christ is the vine. And Christ is not fragmented, a little of him and me to make my life rich and a little in you, and we are totally unrelated. But rather, Christ is one. And in him we are all finding out the unfolding mystery of his good will. We draw sustenance from him. He is the vine. And the quality of spiritual life that we know is actually his life within us. And I'd like to spend the time that's left to me this morning looking at some of the evidences of the reality of spiritual life. I said early in the message, spiritual life is not always easy to diagnose. And I'm not giving you these evidences so that you can check up on me and see if I'm alive, or I can check up on you. But from this scripture this morning, I'd like for me to check up on me and you to check up on you and see the evidence of the life that Christ brings. Verse 11 says, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." When we have life in Christ, this life brings hope. Got a big word there in your worship folder, I think. Eschatological. Means life in the future. Or as our critics say, you people believe in pie in the sky. I sure do. Praise God. And you know, we've lost much of the impact of that word hope in our English language. When someone says, "I hope so," it's kind of weak and wishy-washy. That's not the impact of the hope that Jesus brings with his life. The word hope, the certainty that we shall share eternity with Christ, because he was raised from the dead, our mortal bodies will also be resurrected and we shall live forever. That hope is the one thing that's steadfast and sure in this world in which everything else seems to change. You know, there's a line in one of our gospel songs, it's one of the strongest lines, the third verse of that song, "I'm possessed of a hope that's steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart." And it's hope that holds us steady. Take hope away from the prisoner and he dies. Take hope away from the patient and he dies. But because we have life, we have that certain hope that holds us steady against the shouting voices and the shaming faces and the shaking forces. And that's another sermon. Thank God for hope. For that life that will be. But also, verse 10 says, "If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive." Not just that we will live with him forever and ever, but this life not only brings hope, it brings faith, not just in the future, but another line from another song, "Eternal life begun below now fills my heart and soul." Right now. And this life doesn't begin when we die or when Jesus comes the second time to raise our mortal bodies, but actually this life, this eternal life begins when we begin to know Jesus. The quality of life starts now. Praise God. And whereas spiritual death is unaware of the realities of the spirit, this spiritual faith, this life, perceives the reality. And the more alive we become, the more faith we have, the more we realize the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. How basic it is to be alive. We're saved by faith, and faith, in a sense, brings life. But then this life brings faith. If you've got a poor, puny, weak little concept of the reality of spiritual truth, take care of the life that's in you. Faith perceives the promise. But then also in verse 12, I read, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation." That obligation speaks to me of love. Love costs. For this life not only brings hope and faith, but this life brings love, Christ's love. And if it's Christ's love, and because it's Christ's life, it's not something that we have for ourselves to squander selfishly. The Christ life not only looks forward to heaven with hope, and not only enjoys the blessing of fellowship, the promises by faith, but this Christ life, if it's genuine, if it's real, will begin to shoulder a cross. It looks at people like Jesus looked at people. Hope perceives the future as reality. Faith sees the reality of God's promises for now.
But love opens up the circle of eternity. Love opened up the circle of eternity for you. And we that were alive temporally but dead spiritually, because Christ loved us, and he loved us through people, the circle of eternity was opened up, and we're in there. We have eternal life. Love is what broke the circle for you. Love is the commission that St. Paul heard on the road to Damascus that he tells us about in Acts 26:18, when he said, Jesus said to him, stand up on your feet, because I've sent you to break the circle of eternity for other people and let them in, to open the eyes, turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that's in me. And the Christ life in me and you is the love that wants to break out in our everyday relationships too. We can't just keep this love to ourselves. For if we're alive, that love's going to get out on us.